We want to welcome everyone out to our commission meeting. Appreciate everyone in attendance. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance, and we'll ask Dustin Volk. I thought I saw him sitting there. He'll lead us in the pledge.
Everybody, please stand. Follow me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Dustin. We appreciate that. We'd like to welcome everyone out. We'd like to excuse Commissioner Kamalo. She is with family. That's where she's at.
She's at a conference in California.
Oh, she's at a conference in California. So, anyway, we'd also like to welcome Congressman Moore here with us today. He's going to, I think, hopefully spend a few minutes with us. And then also with all of our employees as far as that goes. So let's go ahead and we'll start with the recognition of our milestones for our county employees. We'll ask Commissioner Elliott if he'll read the names. And when you come up, we appreciate it. Talk some kind words, and we got a lot of people today, so we'll go to the point.
All right, we'll first start off with the attorney's office. For 5 years, Drake Ham. Drake, come on up. And then is anybody coming to speak on behalf of Drake?
I wouldn't either.
All right, for 5 years, Karen Gomez. Is Karen here? Let's give her a round of applause anyway. And also from the attorney's office, Timothy Cottrell. Okay, come on up. Can you reveal? All right, from the auditor's office, Cindy Garrett. Cindy, come on.
So Cindy has been with our office for 5 years, and she is an incredible employee. Her level of professionalism is unmatched. Her work ethic is incredible. The amount of work that she's able to put through, her willingness to jump in and help in a variety of areas. She, I think, may have the broadest knowledge of our accounting and finance operation right now because she is willing to jump in and does an incredible job. On top of that, outside of work, I'm impressed with her devotion to her family and really admire that and admire her for that. And so we are incredibly grateful to have Cindy with us and hope that she will be with us for a long time.
All right, going on to the Health Administration, Lorraine Hovia.
Good morning. It's my pleasure to congratulate Lorraine on 5 years at the Health Department. She actually started back in April 1996. I was in sixth grade at the time. She at that time worked as a home visitation nurse and visited families with children 0 to 5 years old and helped them with their vaccinations and well-child exams, made sure they were all up to date. She took a brief sabbatical to raise her 3 amazing kids and then joined us again when we needed it most in June of 2020 during the COVID pandemic. She worked as a COVID investigator, called people who had tested positive for COVID and did a case investigation and contact tracing for them. Then she stayed on and took a permanent position with us, and her Spanish skills, nursing knowledge, and her kind temperament have just been a godsend to us. So congratulations, Lorene, glad to have you.
So how many years have you been with the county then? Because you took a little sabbatical. So
I was off for 22 years.
Okay.
While I was raising my kids, and then been back about 2 years.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
And then I was with Bear River.
So I finished
okay.
Change in between?
Well, I was just telling Sarah what I love is that building with windows.
So it's gotten better. You have a Brian.
That's what Randy told me.
You're easy to please.
Yeah. You remember the jail?
I'm too young to remember.
So, yeah. The old show was exactly
what it's called. Thank
you. All right. And then for 5 years from Senior Services, Sherry Limatu. Is she here today? Sherry? No? Okay. Let's give her a round of applause real quick. All right. From the library, Laura Vincent. Come on, Laura. Josh.
So, I won't be too embarrassing, I promise. Probably. So, Laura has worked with us for 5 years, and she's been a clerk. I didn't find out if, were you an OS1?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she's worked at a couple different ranches, correct?
Three. Yeah.
Three. So, at Centerville?
Kaysville.
Oh, Kaysville.
Centerville.
And Farmington. Cool. She's currently our library assistant. It's a hybrid position, so she works at the circulation and the reference desk. One thing that I talked with, I found out from a supervisor, she takes the time to make sure people get what they need. It doesn't matter if it's a big request or a small request. And that's just the kind of thing we need at the library. We really appreciate her. So,
thank you. Thank you. Moving on to golf, from Davis Park for 5 years, Nathan Young, and he's not attending, but let's give him a round of applause. And from Valley View for 10 years, Corey Ford.
Thanks, everyone. I just want to kind of congratulate Corey. Corey's been with us for 10 years. A little bit of background into what Corey does. He's one of our part-time seasonal employees, and Corey only works a few hours a week, but he's at a very important position. He's what we call one of our closers. So Corey comes into work when all of us are going home at night. Corey shows up about 6 o'clock at night and stays till dark. So in the middle of the summer, that's 10:30 at night. Corey's pretty good at calling me or Pete and how many golf carts are out on the course or if there's a car left in the parking lot. So we just want to thank Corey. Corey's a dear friend of mine too. We live in the same neighborhood and been friends for a long time, but he and a few other workers like him are very instrumental to the success of the golf course of being a closer for us. So he's there for a lot of other reasons than just the work too. So thanks, Corey. Congratulations.
Thanks for calling me.
Got the snow off the course yet?
No.
Get a shovel out. You're falling behind.
Yeah.
All right, for 20 years at Valley View, I know her as Miss A. So, Elena, come on up.
This is Aelia Alvarez. I get a little emotional on this one. So she's been there longer than I was at Valley View. So I went there in 2011. So this is 20 years for her. She's a retired school teacher and loves golf. Came to Valley View right after she retired from teaching school. And when I took over there in 2011, she and I sat down and had a real heart-to-heart talk about what I could have her do. And she took over. She's our lead cart worker. What that job is she's in charge of all of the seasonal young teenage kids. So we figured with her being a school teacher, she could take over and manage the cart help. So she's been amazing. And she babies the golf carts. They're her babies. And, you know, somebody that's just a seasonal worker, doesn't make a lot of money. But she's many a times, Pete and I have, are you on the clock? No, I haven't punched in today. That's the type of employee that she is. So congratulations and thanks for everything for all these years. Appreciate you.
Will you wait around and tell us some stories about Dustin?
Oh, I would love to say that the only way that I managed to have this many years in is because of him and Pete's great leadership. They work together with the team, and we solve everything together, and I couldn't have been there without them being so supportive. So
give her the $50 you told her.
All right, from the assessor's office, Linda Slayer. Linda, are you here?
First meeting Linda, she was there before me, but she would come into my cubicle and talk, and she's a bit of a low talker. I noticed it was almost a whisper, you know, Linda. And she started talking, and I had to get a little closer, and I thought it was something really juicy. And it turned out she's just a low talker, which we actually came to appreciate sometimes. So. I want to thank Linda and let her know I appreciate everything she does, her dedication, her work ethic, her dependability, and congratulations on 15 years.
Sheriff's Office, Christian Wieniger. Is Christian here? Mm-hmm. Let's round of applause real quick for 5 years. And then also not attending for 5 years, Sam Leiter. And then for 15 years, Ryan Carter. Is Ryan here today?
No, but I'll take his award.
Okay.
Since I'm his boss, so.
Okay. Y'all say a few quick words?
Sure.
Jump over there.
So Ryan Carter's been with us for about 15 years, and me and him go way back to the academy back in 97 together, so I've known Ryan a long time. He's a sergeant over Syracuse Police Department. He's been there, I think, close to about 23 years or so now, 25 years. He couldn't be here today because he was just coming back from being assigned down in Jericho at one of his other many jobs for the state parks that he works. So Ryan's one of the best civil deputies I have. He's really good with dealing with a lot of difficult situations and papers we deal with on a daily. And he's got a true commitment to his job. I mean, he was one time working for Morgan County, Syracuse PD, us, and the state parks. So I think he whittled one of those down now. But he's truly a dedicated employee and a true master of his profession. Thank you.
All right, for this guy, 25 years, Jason Boyston. Come on up, Jason. Jason's one of the top-notch officers we have, and a great leader and a great friend, so.
So Jason is so amazing that it takes two chiefs to talk about Jason. So we're both going to talk a little bit about him. 25 years, well, what is that? 97, 98, when did you start?
I started when I was 10.
So I was going to say, must have been, because you just don't look like you've been here 25 years, but I think you have, because you had an impact on our office and on the citizens in the community. I know that you worked as a paramedic for all those years, and that's why I brought Butch up, because he can talk a little bit about that. Also worked in Metro. Were you sergeant when you were there?
Yes.
Metro is undercover narcotics type stuff, so he had a longer beard and worked in that arena, which is a job that we need, but it's a tough job. When I came to the sheriff's office 4 years ago, Jason was lieutenant. Since then, he's promoted to captain. He moved to corrections for a while, and now he's currently our patrol captain. Does a wonderful job. He's one of the last paramedics. For his 25 years, he's been a paramedic and a deputy sheriff. So wearing two hats or doing two roles, being a police officer and a paramedic responding to and saving lives that way. And that's why I wanted Chief Butcher to talk a little bit about that, because he's also one of our last paramedics, and I wasn't, but I worked in Salt Lake City my whole career. So go ahead, Chief.
Well, so I've actually known Jason since he was, well, he's always been taller than me, but since he was in high school. He used to come right along with the sheriff's office, and he always used to tell me, I'm going to be doing this one of these days. There's so many stories I could go into. I won't talk about Jason's first DUI arrest, not as a cop. But yes, he was the arresting officer, and we won't talk about that one, right? Jason actually, he's just one of those guys that everybody asks if they can be like him. As the chief mentioned, he was in Metro Narcotics. And one of the cool things, very few people know about this, is he was actually Charles Manson when he was in Metro Narcotics. And we have pictures, and you hold them up side by side of Charles Manson. I don't know if this is a claim to fame or not, but you hold it up side by side, and every time everybody will say that he is Charles Manson, and just an exact replica picture. Jason's done all those cool things that everybody wishes they could do. He, in his other life, he's a member of the Screen Actors Guild. He is in a movie, so played a starring, well, all right, not quite a starring role, but a supporting role. What's the name of your movie again? Is it?
You know the name. Six Below.
Six Below. It's on Netflix if anybody, or I have a personal autographed copy if anybody would like to watch it. Jason also works for Lifelight. He's a hoist paramedic for Lifelight. So many of you might have just seen the most recent hoist operation Lifelight did with the unfortunate incident where up in Cache County, unfortunately, an ice climber lost her life, but Jason was one of those hoist people, and he's just always, since the inception of Lifelight doing their hoist, he's one of the originals, and he's just one of those guys that you always wish you could be, and apparently, according to him, I also wish I could be like him as well, but well, just an outstanding individual, outstanding career, and I thank the chief for letting me be able to say a few words, because Jason really truly has been a dear friend over the last 25 plus years, and it's just been inspirational to watch him develop throughout his career and far exceed any of the things that I could even dream of doing. So congratulations, Jason.
It's impressive with the quality of employees and the tenure that we have here at the county. We're grateful for everybody and even even our new ones that are coming and helping us with that. So we'll now move down to our item B under our recognitions, and we're going to have, I believe, Chris Bone will come up and talk about the employee conflict of interest disclosure list.
Thank you, Commissioners. Chris Bone, Director of Human Resources. Yeah, before you as an information item, the annual summary list of conflict of interest disclosures. I want to thank NHR. We have a new process developed by Mindy Adams and Beata Engelhart in HR to do this electronically, which resulted in the list that you see before you, again, as an information item. Really appreciate their efforts in transitioning this process a little bit and modernizing that. This fulfills Utah Title 17, Chapter 16A, County Officers and Employees Disclosure Act, with this annual employee disclosure summary list.
Okay, any questions? Okay, appreciate that.
Thank you.
Item C, we'll ask Congressman Moore to come up. We are really, really blessed to be able to have the Congressman come spend a few minutes with us. I will say that as far as representing our area in District 1, I mean, you haven't found a man that's been more dedicated than what Blake has been as far as working with all of us, so appreciate you.
Thanks, Commissioner. That's kind of you to say it. We need to make this like my town hall so everybody leaves before I speak. I was really just had heard the golf folks were here, and I was gonna, you know, it's been a tough gig in Congress to see about maybe getting that job at Valley View. But it seems like they have some retention there, so I don't know if there's a space.
Well, one thing about it, though, you get free golf if you do work.
So there, I need a lot more free golf with where my handicap is after this. So I'll have to figure out an exit strategy later, because as of right now, I'm fully invested, and it's been a busy start to the first term. I actually just wanted to highlight three quick things: our CPF requests that are related to Davis County, and just they'll be all there. They'll be on our website, and you can kind of monitor the status of these. But this group, your county government, your municipalities. I mean, you always are always focused on the needs of the community, and it's kind of an honor to be able to actually engage to some degree at your direction, because we get these ideas from you all, and we have a role to play at the federal level on making sure that we can help support in various situations. So I wanted to just highlight a handful of those, and you know, those are just submitted and they just were public last week, and we'll keep monitoring it as the appropriations process goes through the House of Representatives. And just, you know, if you hear nothing else, reach out, let us know if there's any questions. But amazing stakeholders within Davis County that have advocated on these projects, and it's our honor to be able to submit some of them. A few of the items we're doing regarding Hill Air Force Base, and then just an overall kind of where we're at Congress-wise, and it will be geared towards budgeting. Is it something that is a strong focus of mine? One is a request from the Utah Transit Authority, Wasatch Front Regional Council, in conjunction with leagues of cities and towns. They are constantly working on improvements to our transportation operations, and so we have a request in with respect to UTA. There's another request in with Davis Education Foundation. Davis School District has done an exceptional job working with teens that are experiencing homelessness, and they're finding ways to support them. This is a small request in the grand scheme of things, but what's being done with the philanthropic community here, particularly in Davis County, to support these individuals and these teens going through something. We get involved in a lot of the, not necessarily the funding requests, but some of the Boys and Girls Clubs and the expansion of these teen centers and providing resources for them. It's a key piece. I don't have teens yet, I have preteens, which are just as dramatic, but this is an important part of our community, and we need to make sure we're reaching them. So there's a Davis Education Foundation request. Clearfield City has pedestrian bridges that we're going to be a part of, as well as Clinton City with some old water lines that we're trying to help update. So these requests, again, come to us, and we can help support. Majority of it gets done here at the county and municipal level, but we get the opportunity to get involved. And then the MITRE request is relation to Falcon Hill. Kind of a not your standard request for Falcon Hill, and you're not going to think that it's going to go that way, but we keep our request towards things like a lot of infrastructure, and this is these are the 500,000 gallon water tanks for Falcon Hill that are key to that operation, and we're working on that. And then I would actually add, because it does service some of Davis County as well, the Ogden Airport, and there is operations that the Ogden Airport will take over that helps alleviate some of the stuff going on with Hill Air Force Base. So we have a request in to expand the apron, the airport apron, to expand operations at Ogden City Airport. So just to highlight some, you know, nuts and bolts of what we get to do. And again, thanks for being such great partners in our approach to that type of work. The NDAA requests that have been circulating, they'll be the Sentinel program is still strong. That's one of the key aspects, F-35 program. Those are always the two key elements that go through the NDAA, and everything looks really solid from that point. One thing I'm really excited about, again, brought to me personally from Mayor Shepard from Clearfield, was a housing opportunity with respect to military bases. All right, so obviously it would incorporate Hill Air Force Base, but this is something we have to deal with. One of the two biggest issues, the strain on military families is they're, you know, serving our nation and moving from one base to the next is a lack of housing opportunities for them and healthcare. Right, so healthcare is its own beast. It's constantly something we're working on. But Mayor Shepard proposed an idea to us that is going to leverage some of the work that had already been done with LIHTC and incorporate that into nearby communities to military bases across the country. And this goes through Ways and Means Committee. And so we've presented it to the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, and he's indicated that he's got a positive feel towards this. And we're gonna navigate the whole legislative process and get this introduced and see what ultimately happens in this Congress. These things take some time, but it's an incredible idea, and I credit Mark for all the work that he did on it and helping get Devin, my military defense policy legislative staffer, you know, up to speed on this, and so we're going to drive this forward. This would be a huge opportunity. The community would be engaged. They're already ready to do it. We just need some key aspects of a bill like this to incorporate military families and getting access. We have airmen that are triple up bunking up with people because their cost is too much for them. They are not in the private sector economy. Their wages don't, you know, they're not congruent with what goes on. And they're doing it for the mission. They're doing it to serve, and we need to help find them opportunities to be able to continue to serve. Really, is what it's about. It's about retention, and ultimately, that's a huge cost savings for our military if we don't have so much attrition going out of there. So that's something that we're going to run through Ways and Means Committee, and look forward to keeping you all updated on it. And of course, you can reach out to Mayor Shepard for any updates as well, as he's heavily involved. So, and with that. We are, and I do this a little bit more at my town halls. I even have a bunch of slides I'm presenting. I'm really trying to really showcase the snapshot of where we are right now. We're $31 trillion, $31 trillion of gross debt, public and international debt. We have a debt to GDP ratio that is approaching, and in some statistical measures, has already reached World War II levels. And if we don't take advantage of this opportunity right now to lower our debt to GDP ratio, move our trajectory in the southward direction, in 10, 15 years, we're gonna be paying 50 cents on every tax dollar will be going to just paying interest. So over 50 years, our defense budget went from 43% of our total federal budget, that is down to 13%, because other government programs grow so big, and they grow at an exponential rate, and we just, for 25 years, we have not gotten close back to having a balanced budget, and it's the biggest concern I have. We get strapped with that much interest and just simple debt servicing. we're not even investing in the things that we need to invest in. Things like that I just did a spout off list. We should be investing in things like this and not just paying interest on our debt. So we've got to find common ground back in Washington to really truly address this. I will use the debt ceiling as an opportunity to find some wasteful spending that we can incorporate. I want to make our work and welfare programs work like Utah's. We actually have a place where we live in a state where if you're born in the 20th percentile of socioeconomic status, you have the best opportunity to reach the top 20th percentile. That's a stat I'm extremely proud to be from, and I want to help mimic the federal government to do that. So I'm on the health subcommittee, the work and welfare subcommittee, and the social security subcommittee within Ways and Means. The vast majority of all of our debt drivers that are squeezing out things like our defense budget, things like just our regular expenses and things that we have to invest in from transportation infrastructure, they're all getting squeezed out by programs that exist within the Ways and Means Committee, and I'm going to give it my all to help move us in the right direction, and you know, see if we can get that debt trajectory, you know, down towards a 70% debt to GDP instead of well over 120 at this point, depending on how you look at it. So it's tough. It's gonna be tough, and I think that you set yourself up for failure sometimes when you take on the number one issue in the country. But it's a key aspect. We need to run our federal budgeting closer to the way we run things in Utah. That'll be a massive shift, and there's different considerations at play with what we ultimately fund. But we've done it before. We did it after World War II. We started to do it in the late 90s. And since then, we just haven't been able to get out ahead of it. And so I'm committed to doing my part to leverage these inflection points to help us move into a lower trajectory. So that's the main thing I'm working on. As you come to any town halls that we do, I'm going to help share a little bit more data and context around that. But for you all to know, these are the specifics we're working on. Here's what we're trying to focus on, particularly with Hill Air Force Base and overall. So thank you for everything. I think we can stick around a little bit longer, and we're good on time, right? Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate you. We'll now move into our public comment. If there's anyone that would like to take a couple of minutes, please come forward. Okay, if not, we'll move into our agenda. First up, it will be Ashley Young from our Animal Care.
Good morning, Commissioners. The first item on Animal Care's list today is the approval of our March 2023 adoption contracts. This is between March 1st of 2023 to March 31st of 2023. We did have 78 adoptions, 3 birds, 29 cats, 44 dogs, and 2 other species, which were rabbits. Our second item on the business action is the acceptance of a memorandum of understanding to transfer animals to the Humane Society of Utah. This term begins March 23rd of 2023 and goes through March 23rd of 2024. The third item is the approval of the standard service provider contract with Dr. Rezvan to provide relief veterinary services. He is going to be helping us with neutering kittens this year during kitten season. This began April 1st of 2023 and goes through October 1st of 2023. Item number 4 is the acceptance of a donation to Animal Care made by a member of the public, Nancy Marple. This is receivable in the amount of $100, and the donation was made on March 17th of 2023. Item number 5 is acceptance of the donation from a member of the public by Corey Wilson, receivable in the amount of $7,725, and it was made on February 13th of 2023.
All right, I'll make the motion that we move approval of items 1 through 5.
I'll second that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's unanimous. Thank you, Ashley. Appreciate you. Next item, I'll handle on that. This is the application for Indigent Capital Defense Funds for a case that is taking place. It involves Jeremy Dwayne Belt. You can see on the screen the criminal case number. Terms on this will be beginning 4/11 and will be based upon how the case goes. And I'll make that motion and we approve that.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you. We'll ask Kent to come up.
I can see you smiling already. You're excited about the number of agenda items.
I'm excited about you hurrying.
Yeah, I'll get through these. Item number seven is the approval of the CDBG PY 2022 subrecipient agreement with Clinton City to remove and replace 35 sidewalk curb ramps and replace them with ADA compliant ramps to make the city more accessible to the elderly and those with severe disabilities. Terms payable in the amount of $105,000 beginning 1-1-2023 to 12-31-2023. Item number eight is an approval of the summary list of low risk, low dollar rental agreements. Got a couple of changes on this one, both within the actual summary document under Fighting Brothers Karate was listed at 815. It should be 869.54. And then the total missed a couple of cells. And so the total amount receivable should be $6,533.12 beginning 12-10-2022 to 3-22-2023. Item number nine is an approval of summary list of low-risk, low-dollar rental agreements. Terms receivable amount of $9,035.81 beginning 1-3-2023 to 5-31-2023. Item number 10, approval summary list of low-risk, low-dollar RV rental agreements. Terms receivable amount of $1,448.69 beginning 12-29-2022 to 5-27-2023. Next ones are a handful from the Great Salt Lake Bird Festival that we've got coming up May 18th through the 21st. Item number 11, approval of the standard service contract with Red Star Transportation for bus transportation to the Spiral Jetty for the 2023 Great Salt Lake Bird Festival. Terms payable in the amount of $1,059.75 beginning 5-21-2023. Item number 12 is an approval of the standard service contract with Unity Transportation Service for transportation for the 2023 Great Salt Lake Bird Festival field trip attendees. Terms payable in the amount of $2,821 beginning 5-19-2023 to 5-20-2023. Number 13, approval of the standard service provider contract with LaBus for transportation for the 2023 Great Salt Lake Bird Festival for field trip attendees. Terms payable in the amount of $14,675.63 beginning 5-18-2023 to 5-21-2023. Item number 14 is an approval of a donation agreement with Rocky Mountain Power for the 2023 Great Salt Lake Bird Festival. Terms receivable in the amount of $3,000 beginning 5-18-2023 to 5-21-2023. Item number 15, approval of the donation agreement with For the Birds and Bees for the 2023 Great Salt Lake Bird Festival. Terms receivable in the amount of $500 beginning 5-18-2023 to 5-21-2023. Item number 16, approval of a special use permit for access of the Utah Department of Natural Resources Division of Wildlife Resources lands at the Farmington Bay Waterfowl Management Area and Eccles Wildlife Education Center for the 2023 Great Salt Lake Bird Festival. Beginning 5-17-2023 to 5-21-2023. Number 17 is an approval of the annual sponsorship agreement between Davis County, the Bountiful Arts Center in Bountiful for the Summerfest program and the annual statewide exhibit. Terms in mail payable in the amount, it's not $1,500, it'll be $15,000, beginning 1-1-2023 to 12-31-2023. Item number 18 is an approval of the annual sponsorship agreement with between Davis Arts Council and Davis County, payable amount of $25,000 beginning 1-1-2023 to 12-31-2023. Looks like the next number or a number of real estate transactions. Number 19 is a ratification of the 10th Amendment to the Real Estate Purchase Contract for land with IGOG LLC, a Utah limited liability company. We're going to be coming back with an 11th Amendment to this. They had some recorded changes of ownership, and so we want to make sure we get the names right, but folks, we're feeling good. Again, this will be the 11th time I say that. Number 20, authorization of the notice of sale of Davis County surplus real property known as tax ID 02099-0002. Terms payable amount of $200. This is for the Founders Smith Park in Centerville by negotiated sale with Centerville to transfer the land over at the Centerville Library. There will be a public hearing as part of this on Tuesday, May 9th. Item number 21, execution of a quitclaim deed conveying a tax sale acquired parcel of land known as tax ID number 06084-0033 to Woods Cross City. It's on the north side, 1970 north south. Woods Cross waiting to dedicate the street. So this is just a small strip that will convey to Woods Cross City. Number 22, execution of a quitclaim deed conveying parcels of land known as tax ID 01045-0046, tax ID 01047-0124, tax ID 01047-0204, tax ID 01048-0005, tax ID 01048-0086 and tax ID 01061-0055 to the city of North Salt Lake. So it's the portion of five roads and the pedestrian walkway as part of the overall Alberta annexation. Number 23 and 24 are connected, as well as 25 and 26. And so 23 is an acceptance of a real estate purchase contract for the sale of a tax sale parcel of land known as tax ID number 14-095-0059 to John Bueller for J&B Holdings Enterprise LLC. This is receivable in the amount of $1,300. We are asking the commission to check the box near the signature. It says for seller's acceptance of the buyer's office offer to purchase the property. Item number 24, finalization of the real estate purchase agreement dated March 23, 2023 for surplus tax sale of real property known as tax ID number 14-095-0059 to John Bueller for J&V Holdings Enterprises LLC. Number 25 is the acceptance of a real estate purchase contract for the sale of a tax sale parcel of land known as tax ID number 07080027 to Fruit Heights City. Terms receivable amount of $600, and we're asking again the commission select the box near the signature for seller's acceptance of the buyer's offer to purchase the property. And finally, number 26, finalization of real estate purchase agreement dated April 2nd, 2023 for surplus tax sale real property known as tax ID number 07080027 to Fruit Heights City.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve items 7 through 26 with the corrections that were stated.
And I'll second that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That is unanimous. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Ask Brian Hatch. Come forward.
Morning, Commissioner. You got three items here. The first is approval of an internship agreement with Western Governors University to bring on interns. Beginning 4/11 of 2023, running through 4/10 of 2026. Item 28 is approval of our TB prevention and control contract amendments with the Utah Department of Health and Human Services, increasing the contract amount by $13,402 beginning 2/1 of 2023, running through 12/31 of 2023. And 29 is approval of the STD 2019 contract amendment with the Utah Department of Health and Human Services, increasing that contract in the amount of $151,152 beginning 1/1 of 23, running through 12/31 of 2023.
Very good. I'll make a motion that we approve items 27 through 29.
And I'll second that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Appreciate you, Brian. Thanks.
Thank you.
Unanimous. Now we'll move down to Jason Adams going to come up. I was with Adam this morning and we were looking at some creeks, and I said, what do you think? And he said, looks like there's water flowing.
Alright, so I brought to you today item number 30, approval of the amendment to the interlocal agreement with Fruit Heights City for additional work on the 650 North reconstruction project. Terms payable in the amount of $30,620.47 beginning 4/11/23 to 4/11/24.
Very good. I'll make the motion to approve.
I'll second that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Appreciate it. Andy?
Hello. Good morning. Let's see. Andy Oblad for the Sheriff's Office. Present number 31, this is the approval of release of liability, waiver rights, and participation agreement for the Secure Continuous Remote Alcohol Monitoring Program, which is SCRAM, for participants 1 through 18. Will that suffice?
Yes.
Okay. Terms receivable in a varied amount based on test use and monitoring fees, begins upon final signature, and runs until the participant is no longer under court order to participate in the program. Number 32 is an approval of a training reimbursement agreement with Kristen Lynn Cole for special functions training and basic corrections training. Terms are payable in the amount of $17,800. Begins on the day they're sworn in as deputy sheriff and ends 2 years from that date. Number 33, approval, well, let's go back to 32 for a minute. Chief Butcher's here, right?
Yes.
That will begin when she graduates. Correct. From the training?
typically we've done it on the day they're sworn in, so we try to get them sworn in as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So usually that's the day we started, is the day that they're actually sworn in.
Okay. 33 is the approval of NCIC HIT confirmation agreement between Davis County Sheriff's Office and Syracuse Justice Court, terms of beginning April 1st, 2023. And 34 is the approval of the standard service provider contract with True Green Limited Partnership for fertilizer, broadleaf weed, crabgrass, pre-emergent weed control materials and services to all grassy areas at the Davis County Sheriff's Office complex for the 2023 season. Terms are payable in the amount of $5,907.70, beginning April 11, 2023 to December 31st, 2023.
Good. I'll make a motion that we approve
items 31 through 34.
I'll second that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's unanimous. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Make the motion that we recess the Board of Equalization.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Turn the time over to Curtis Cook.
Commissioners, you have for your consideration today under your property tax register, under auditor adjustments, under appeals. You have a report with various appeals recommending approval for $245,022. Under corrections, you have 10 veteran abatement exemptions for the year 2022. You have one Greenbelt exemption for tax year 2022. You have two exempt entity purchases for the year 2021 and 2022, so two for each of those years. You have one abatement due to an error in posting in the year 2022. And under treasurer adjustments, you have a small balance write-off report with various write-offs totaling $3.10. And that is your property tax register for April 11th, 2023.
I'll make a motion that we approve.
And I'll second that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I'll make a motion to go back into our regular commission meeting.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. With that, that brings us basically to the end of our meeting. Do we have any comments from attorney, clerk, or auditor?
Just one quick comment. I'd like to thank Congressman Moore for his work over the years with election integrity and security. He has gone out on the edge and battled for fair, safe, transparent elections, and we really appreciate that. I say that as a former clerk and as a current auditor.
You're awesome. Thanks, Chris. You're doing the hard work.
Well, I did say clerk and auditor, and he didn't even get a chance to say probably that exact same thing.
Sorry, Brian.
It's not good, Mike.
Thank you. As you can see, like, things are out of control in this meeting. Randy?
I'm good.
And I have nothing either. So with that, we'll adjourn at this time. We appreciate you. There's a couple of us have to run to late into a meeting. So we'll see you this afternoon.
And I'll coordinate with you.